I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the heathen in the temple. The heathen in the temple. And this is actually based on Psalm chapter 79, where it says, "O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled." Now, it's interesting, in the New Testament, the scripture says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says very clearly that the church, that believers in Christ are the temple of God. Believers in Christ are the temple of God. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul makes it very, very clear. That's where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And then he goes on from there. So very clearly, Paul is communicating, well, this is an ongoing theme throughout the New Testament, that the Most High dwells not in temples made with human hands, the scripture says. And so the church under the new covenant is the temple of God. The temple built by Solomon in the Old Testament was really a foreshadowing of the church itself. And the church is made up of believers. The believers are like, well, they're likened to living stones built on the foundation of Christ. As Paul says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And then it also talks about the foundation of the apostles and prophets elsewhere, and what that is, I believe, referring to is really the testimony of the apostles and prophets, because it's their testimony through the scriptures that gives us the knowledge of who Christ is and what we are to believe about him. So, Christ is the foundation, and the living body of believers are built on the foundation of Christ himself and the testimony that he is the Son of God. So it's very interesting when we consider that context. We consider that context and now go back to Psalm chapter 79. Where it says, "O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance, thy holy temple have they defiled." Now, this is obviously talking about a period when Israel, ancient Israel, was under a period of reproof and judgment from God because of their sin and rebellion against him. And there's a number of passages like this that we find throughout the scripture. Part of what made me think of this, brethren, is the situation that's going on right now in London. And they've had yet another terror attack over there. They're on the London Bridge, and it is said that a number of Muslims got out, and they all had these hunting knives, and this was a knife attack that's killed about 7 people. Another 40 people are injured, and so on. Been a very traumatic event there. We should be in prayer for the people of London. And of course, we're seeing what's happening now. The media is coming in trying to smooth things over with the standard arguments to say that, well, you can't really blame this on Islam, even though this was an Islamic terror attack. Even though the guys are shouting Allah Akbar, and this is for Allah, and this kind of thing very clearly. And I believe this has everything to do with what is going on, really, not just in England, but throughout the Western world. And I think this has everything to do with Psalm chapter 79. Because here's what God says. You get over to Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81 and verse 8, where the Lord says, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him." Okay, interesting. Now the Lord says that if his people will fear God, that God would have turned his hand against their adversaries, and then their adversaries would have submitted to him. Now, isn't that what the Christian world, isn't that what Christians want to see happen? We want to see the unbelieving world turn and submit to the true God, submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose for preaching the gospel. That's the whole purpose for taking a stand on the Word of God and going into all the world, teaching the gospel. But how can the Christian world lead people to salvation if the Christian world is not willing to stand in God's testimony, if the Christian world is not willing to uphold the very first and most important command, where God says, "I am the Lord thy God, ye shall have no other gods before me"? Because what's happened, brethren, is in the Western world, we have allowed other gods to quite literally be brought in. And yes, I know that you know covetousness is as idolatry. And certainly the idols of a person's heart are every bit as lethal. But we cannot forget the very literal, direct, straightforward understanding of idolatry, where you literally bring in a foreign god and set up that foreign god, and that foreign god now begins to challenge the authority of the true God. And of course, this is something that God's people have dealt with over and over and over again. It is a snare that God's people have fallen into over and over and over again. When Elijah stood down the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he calls the children of Israel, he calls these prophets of Baal to come in, he calls the children of Israel, and he says to the children of Israel, "How long do you halt between two opinions? If Baal is God, follow him. But if the Lord is God, follow him." Okay? As Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for you will love the one and hate the other, or else you will cling to the one and despise the other." And that's what's happening. What's happening over there in the UK? You really have a choice between two gods. It's either the God of Christianity or the God of Islam. And there's no question, they're not serving both gods over there. Both gods are not being taken into consideration. Very clearly, they are catering to the God of Islam. It's just as Jesus said. They're not going to serve two masters. And that's happening in countries all over Western Europe. And of course, what's really going on? What's really going on is the heathen are come into, they've come into the holy temple. They've come into the people of God. They've come into what is supposed to be the people of God, what's supposed to be a Christian country. And they are defiling the once Christian countries of Western Europe. And of course, we've talked about this in a variety of different ways. But I think over and over, about what God says over here in verse 8 in chapter 81. If thou wilt hearken unto me, God says, there shall no strange God be in thee. Now, you know, I didn't really understand that for years. I remember reading that verse years ago. But as I've observed what's been going on and how the situation in the Western world is progressing, think about this. Think about what's happening. Think about how people are being victimized, how people are being, I mean, you literally, you got stories about people who are being kidnapped and kept as slaves by some of these Muslims right there in England, in their own country, being kept, being subjected to all sorts of brutality and cruelty. And it is happening at a colossal level. There's a new story now where they, in another town there in the UK, they've got over 200 cases of sexual assault, and they are now suspecting yet another Muslim rape gang. Okay? This is the effect of having a strange God come into your country and be set up. And when we're reading through the Old Testament, we're reading what happened whenever the children of Israel would worship Baal. And they would engage in child sacrifice. They caused their children to be passed through the fires of Baal. You've got Jezebel and Ahab. They persecuted and killed the prophets of God, the true prophets. Those who were testifying of the truth, they were pushed out. They were persecuted. They were killed. And what we're seeing more and more in these countries is government failing to confront the powers of evil, failing to punish evil, which is the fundamental purpose of government. It's part of the fundamental purpose. The fundamental purpose is to defend that which is good and to punish that which is evil. And that's according to Romans 13. That's what government does as the minister of God. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to do. But the stories that are coming now more and more of just inaction from government, allowing evil to progress and flourish. We're seeing that to a certain extent in our country, where we have leaders who are not willing to uphold and enforce the laws. That's the whole reason we have the problems with illegal immigration and everything associated with it. But look at Psalm chapter 82. Psalm chapter 82, verse 1 says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now think about that. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. It's like all that it, well, at least the way I understand that verse, looking at it, it's as though the psalmist is saying all the fundamental principles of God's justice and righteousness are out of course. They've been turned upside down. And that seems very much like a time that we're in right now in our country, in many ways. But why is it? You know, it's very interesting that Psalm 79, where it says, the heathen are come into thine inheritance, thy holy temple have they defiled. I remember reading that years ago for the first time I remember it being illuminated, you know, the scripture, somebody drawing reference to it in one of the books by Dave Hunt. And the context, from what I remember, had to do with the New Age movement and all these New Age ideas being embraced by the church. I believe that is what preceded a lot of the conflict that we're seeing in the world today, brethren, especially here in the West. All right. Let's go to our commercial break. We are going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the heathen in the temple. The heathen in the temple. Is this what's happened? Has the Western world opened the door to all of these strange beliefs, and especially now to Islam? You know, a lot of this stuff, I remember back in the 1970s and 80s, people were talking about the Hare Krishnas, talking about the gurus, talking about all of these other, you know, Buddhism and people getting into Taoism and all this other kind of stuff, all this strangeness going on. But the thing is, all of that stuff was relatively harmless beyond a spiritual level. The harm it was going to cause you was typically spiritual. The harm it would cause to society was that people are going to be deceived and deluded, etc. And they're, you know, sometimes, of course, they would ruin their lives and their families because they'd go give all their possessions to some guru and they'd go live in a compound somewhere. You had situations like that that happened. But nobody really thought that any of that would lead, you know, it led to a cultural decline. It led to certainly a decline in discernment in the churches, that people were embracing a lot of these doctrines. But when you bring Islam into it, now this brings in a very, you know, just a different level of danger. Now you're talking about a completely different system of right and wrong that the Muslims have been practicing for more than 1,000 years and that they've inflicted on Christians quite seriously for more than 1,000 years, for 1,400 years. I was reading about how the Muslims invaded Spain in the 8th century and occupied Spain for some 800 years before the reconquest of Spain. You know, the Spanish were fighting, and then finally they were able to overthrow the Moors, but it took them hundreds of years to overthrow the Moors and finally drive them out of Spain, you know, to drive out the Muslim influence. And it's really a very compelling story, but there are some people, the reason I mention it, there was an article on this on Pamela Geller's website talking about it. And as a lesson, you know, Islam, if they get into your country and they get their system set up, it's very, very difficult to remove it. It doesn't just go away that quickly. It's very, very difficult to remove, and it can really cause you a lot of problems. And the Spanish were, I mean, really, they were treated, they were persecuted systematically as any non-Muslim group would be, as any would be. But the reason these things are happening, brethren, I believe over and over again, is it's a violation. The Western world, the Christian world, has violated the first commandment, where God says, I am the Lord thy God, ye shall have no other gods before me. That's the problem. That's the core issue right there. That's the core issue. And in fact, if you understand the Declaration of Independence properly, if you understand it the way the founders understood it, when they said all men are created and endowed by their creator, with God, with unalienable rights, what they're declaring is that God, the creator, and not just any God, they most certainly meant the God of the Bible. That's the context of all their writings, all the revolutionary writings. The God of Christianity. And that no man has the right or the authority to violate God's law and the rights that he's given to his people through his law. But see, once a foreign God comes in, the foreign God has a completely different understanding of right and wrong. I mean, just study the pagan gods. There's no question about it. But see, what we've been told for decades, I grew up hearing this, that really all of these different religions believe pretty much the same thing. They all, you know, they all just generally have the same beliefs. Okay? They just kind of see things differently. That lie has been sold to the Western world since the 1960s. At least. You find the beginnings of it at the Parliament of World Religions, but it really takes off after Vatican II in the 1960s. That's where it really began to be promoted. And it is now proving to be, I think, a very dangerous and very deadly lie. And we could talk about this at a number of different levels. I want to go over 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, this is part of what we went over in Bridge to Babylon. You think about it. Having guys like Westcott and Hort and Kurt Olland and so on, people who don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, who didn't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture at any level. They didn't believe that. They had a very different view of God. And yet they were the ones handling the Scripture. Think of them like being judges on a court. They're sitting in judgment, and they're making the judgments about how we're going to understand the Bible and what choices are going to be made in terms of what is or what is not an authentic reading, what is or what is not the most ancient and authentic, right, and reliable manuscript. They're the judges, but who are these judges? What do they believe? This reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? Now that, I mean, that's just really a very powerful verse. And I've seen Reformed believers make reference to that and argue that, you know, Christians should seek out. I mean, knowledgeable Christians, capable Christians who are called to it, should seek out positions of authority in government. I mean, I got to tell you, I am always encouraged whenever I find out that we have a judge sitting on the bench in our country who's a Christian. for this very reason right here. Because this right here is the problem in the entire Western world. It's why I admire men like Judge Roy Moore. Judge Roy Moore, who defended the Ten Commandments. He's defended God's law against things like the gay marriage ruling. He's been persecuted continually for these things because he's taken a stand for the righteousness of God, and he will not back down. Now, just to give you an update on Judge Roy Moore, for those who don't know, he was suspended because of our unjust system, the injustice going on in our system. He was suspended over his position on gay marriage. Now he is apparently running for Senate. Running for the Senate. But I wanted to draw your attention to a website that he and his wife have called the Foundation for Moral Law. The Foundation for Moral Law. And this is a foundation that Judge Moore has begun to defend our God-given rights and freedoms here in the country. And you can find it at their website at morallaw.org for those who are interested. And they've also got, you may find this interesting, they've got on that website a drop-down menu with key documents, things like the Ten Commandments, the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, James Madison's Memorial and Remonstrance. They've got some things there. They've got a whole list of items, some of which I'm not familiar with, and I'm really looking forward to investigating it because I love this kind of research, and we'll probably incorporate some of this in our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.